And that's why we're here, to celebrate the coming of Jesus, our Messiah, who was born on Christmas Day. Welcome to all of you. We are a small but faithful crew here this morning. But I can tell you, you'll be very glad you came, because this will be a meaningful statement of the truth from the Gospels. We call this simply Christmas because it's simply the story of Jesus being born and the singing of the beloved songs that celebrate his birth. So no fanfare, no tinsel, well, there's some ornaments, but focus on what this season is truly about. And you'll see that we'll be going, we'll be lighting all the Advent candles. We'll be talking about each of the aspects of Advent, the joy, the peace, the love, the hope that Jesus brings, and walking through this story. So we gather here to worship our Savior and our Lord. Let's come before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of Jesus, the Word made flesh. You, our God, Yahweh, coming to earth as a little baby, taking on human form to be with us, to walk our walk, to experience temptation and testing and tiredness and joy and sorrow just as we do, to experience life as a human, and then to die for us humans, to pay the price for our sins, that we might be forgiven and given everlasting life. Truly, Lord, this is a day to celebrate, a day to stand before you in wonder, a day to come as your faithful people and worship you from the depths of our heart. To you be glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin by standing together and singing, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Joyful and triumphant.
Be seated. Just so you'll know, the reason the room is dark is because we're doing tonight, or this morning, the service that we were planning to do last night, which was canceled because of the weather. So this is our Christmas Eve service, and because we're lighting candles, we wanted a darker atmosphere to add to the beauty. Our first focus in Advent is on the prophecies that foretold the coming of Jesus the Messiah and upon the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ brings to our lives. First candle that we light is a candle of prophecy and hope. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophets foretold the coming of Jesus, who was the Messiah. In their prophecies, they foretold that he would be the Messiah, which means the anointed one. He would be the son of David, who would come and save his people from their sins and establish a kingdom of righteousness and justice, and rule over that kingdom of shalom forevermore. As the pieces of a puzzle come together, and as they come together, it reveals the entire picture. In the same way, the many prophecies of the Lord Jesus came together and revealed what kind of man the Messiah would be, where he would be born, how he would die, and the purpose of his life. Hear the prophets.
The words of the prophet Isaiah.
A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called
Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God,
Everlasting Father,
Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
The words of the prophet Malachi. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall.
Let's take a moment of silence, a minute or so, to reflect on the wonder of the coming of the Messiah.
The second celebration of Advent is Annunciation and love. The day came when, in the fullness of time, God sent His own Son into the world in fulfillment of the words of the prophets. The second candle that we light is a candle of Annunciation and love. This candle recalls the coming of the angel Gabriel to Mary to tell her that she would have the incomprehensible honor of bearing God's own Son, God in the flesh, whom He was sending into the world because He loved us and desired to redeem us from our sins. Hear the story.
The Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Mary asked the angel,
"How will this be, since I am a virgin?"
And the angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God."
Mary answered,
"I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said."
Then the angel left her.
The Gospel of Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man who did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
"Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us."
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Still we see thee lie above thy deep bell tree, must sleep the sun.
The third movement in Advent that we celebrate is that of proclamation and joy. The third candle we light is the candle of proclamation and joy. And this candle is pink. It's a combination of the white of the Christ candle and the purple of the other Advent candles, because this marks the halfway point in Advent. We move towards the longing and anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, to rejoicing that the day has come. This candle recalls the glorious announcement by the angels to the common shepherds that the Messiah had been born, Christ the Lord, that he'd been born that very day. Good news of great joy. Let's listen to the story.
The Gospel of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
On earth and mercy, mild, God and sin.
The fourth focus of Advent is fulfillment and peace. The fourth candle that we light in Advent is the candle of fulfillment and peace. We focus on the truth that through Jesus, the Messiah, we can have peace with God. And we have peace with God, we're able to have peace within, in our own souls. And when our souls are at peace, we have peace with one another. And the world discovers peace. But the cost was great for Jesus to bring wholeness into our lives. You see, sin brings death. The penalty of death for what we have done wrong. And Jesus had to pay the price for our sins by dying on the cross. The religious leaders, out of jealousy, had him crucified. But he rose victorious from the grave on the third day. And through his death, our sins are forgiven. They're washed away. We're made as white as the snow. And through his resurrection, we receive his new and everlasting life. Listen to these words from the Bible that speak of God's great salvation and his great love for us.
The Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Paul's letter to the Romans. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us.
For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Just we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Yeah.
It's dark. The world lies in sin and error pining. The shadows are conspiring. But a light is coming. The Lord has been quiet for 4 centuries. The prophets are gone. There are no signs to see. It's silent. But let me tell you something. A voice is coming. The patriarchs are long dead. The judges were traded for a bunch of crowned heads. This monarchy, though, consistently failed and misled. No system is working. But there's a new king coming. Man's dead in religion. Legalism reigns. Ceremonial acts which are just simply profane. The law is not working. But a new covenant is coming. The people are defiling. The rituals God is despising. Even the priests are compromising. And the sin offerings, they're worthless sacrificing. Oh, but get ready, because a lamb is coming. The temple is a den of thieves. A brood of vipers are the Pharisees. Same too for the Sadducees. They don't even know. There's a new high priest coming. The nations are suffering. Evil is chuckling. And the faithful are left wondering, does God even care? Oh, let me tell you something. Emmanuel is coming. God's people desire a glorious king. The world is yearning for eternity, a perfect sacrifice each soul desperately needs. It's a silent night, but hope is in sight. A most precious gift God is bestowing. The Bethlehem star begins glowing. Let the good news start growing. A baby is coming.
And that's what we're celebrating today, the coming of a baby. Throughout Advent, we've been focusing on different classic Christmas songs. We've called our series A Christmas Carol. Each week, we've delved into the scriptural truths behind one of these beloved carols. Today, I want to talk about the beautiful song, What Child Is This? The song was written back in 1865 by William Chatterton Dix. And the unique thing about Chatterton is that he wasn't a pastor or a theologian like so many of the writers of the other great carols. Rather, he was a successful insurance salesman in Scotland who was stricken with a sudden illness at the age of 29 and was confined to bed for an extended period of time, and in that time fell into a deep place of depression. In that place of darkness, he called out to God, and God met him in a new and powerful way. Out of those depths, that profound experience with God, came many songs, including this beautiful carol. The music is a classic English folk tune called Greensleeves that Dix put to this song. And the song begins with a question. What child is this who laid to rest? On Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. And then he answers that question. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe the son of Mary. What child is this? This is Christ the King. This is Christ. The word means the anointed one. It's translated in Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word Messiah. The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah has come. He is the King of Kings, the glorious ruler come to earth to be the Savior of the world. Amazing. And so what ought we do? Haste to bring him laud, to lift him up, to praise him, to honor him. Come in wonder and awe and worship, for he's worthy. This is God, the Messiah. But the very answer of who he is begs another question. If this is the King of Kings, then why is he in a manger, in a stable or a cave? Why is this child here? In a feeding trough of animals. This is the King. Shouldn't he be in a palace? And so the writer asks, why lies he in such mean estate, in such a lowly position, where ox and ass are feeding? And again, the question is answered. Could Christians fear? For sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. This verse is often left out when people sing it, but it's a powerful and profound verse. Jesus, the eternal word of God, became flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us, in the beginning was the Word. This is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, in his pre-incarnate state, eternally with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Fully united, fully one. And this eternal Word, through whom God created the universe, who was God, became a babe born of Mary. And the author calls Jesus the silent word because as a baby, when he was born, he couldn't even speak. Yet even before he could speak, he was pleading for God's grace to come upon us. I don't know that he was cognitively aware of that. I'm quite sure he wasn't. He was an infant. But even when he came, in the moments before his conception, he came for our sake. And so he says, good Christians, fear. Fear. Tremble in reverence and awe. For this child is the Word of God, the creator of the universe. And he's come to save sinners. To save you and me. And then the song says, nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. As we heard earlier, Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he took up our pains and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Why is this child here? He came to save us. The eternal Word became a human being. You know, as Christians, some of us have heard this from when we were children. And the wonder of the divine becoming man has become sometimes too commonplace. This is a profound mystery. You know, the reason why people couldn't figure this out in the first century, why it was so, it was just too mind-boggling for them. No one had ever thought of such a thing. And yet, here is God. Hail, hail. The Word made flesh. The babe. The Son of Mary. How do we respond to this wonderful truth? Well, the writer tells us, so bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Those are the gifts that the wise men, that the magi brought, all costly, extremely costly gifts. Come, peasant, king, to own him, whatever your status in life, come and own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Our response, bring him our best. The best of our gifts, the best of our time, the best of our lives. And embrace him. Own him as your own. He's the King of Kings who brings you salvation. Let us receive that salvation. Let us enthrone him in our hearts as our personal king, submitting to him. Let us receive him as our personal Lord and our personal Savior. To enthrone him in love, in adoration. That is what God calls us to do. Raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. As Mary is singing her lullaby, the author is picturing her with Jesus there to this mysterious child. He's calling us to join in the song of joy, for the Messiah has been born and all of our tomorrows have been forever changed. Everlasting death has been conquered and replaced with everlasting life for all who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so our appropriate response is this: receive Christ as your Savior, enthrone him in your heart as your Lord, and worship him with great joy. That's the call to us today. Are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior? Have you put your faith in him? Have you recognized your sin, your helplessness apart from God? None of us are good enough to be saved. Have you recognized that helplessness and put your trust in Jesus to save you? And if you've done that, are you trusting in Jesus day by day to be your Savior? He is. Are you trusting him to be your Savior from temptation, from trials, from sorrows, persecutions you may face, from financial struggles, from relational struggles, from all the things in life that come? Oh, you trust in Jesus to be your deliverer, your Savior. Have you trusted him as your Savior? And have you enthroned him as your Lord? Do we see him for who he truly is? Not simply as a baby, but as the eternal God who is now exalted and seated in all power at the right hand of God and will come again in glory and power. Are we rightly surrendered to him? Oh, Lord, let us surrender to you from deep within our hearts and yield to you in every way. And having rightly embraced him as Lord and Savior, do we just stand in awe of him, amazed at who he is, worshiping him with joy, because what he's brought us is amazing, is wonderful. That's the appropriate response. And so let this Christmas season, let wonder fill our hearts. And in a few moments, when we sing this classic song, Let these staggering questions that the writer asks, what child is this? And why lies he in such mean estate? Let these questions come afresh in our hearts. And let us be captivated by the gripping answers. This is Christ, the King, who has come to die to save you from your sins. This is God with us. Let us join him, the writer of this song, in awestruck wonder and worship the King of Kings, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of you. And right now, Lord, we want to embrace you as our Savior. If you never have asked Jesus to wash your sins away and to give you new life, I must tell you, you're under God's judgment for your sin, and rightly so. But you can run to Jesus right now, this very day, and put your trust in him. And as you do so, the Bible promises that all who trust in him will not be put to shame. And as you do that, he will pour out his Holy Spirit on you and wash your sins away and give you new life. All you need to do is come and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I repent. I turn to you and ask you to save me. So just do that right now and open your heart to him as your Savior. And let's all of us look to him as our Savior and our provider in all things. And Lord, we submit to you as our sovereign, as the King of Kings, and we rejoice, for you're wonderful, and what you have done is beyond all that we could ask or imagine. Hallelujah, to you be glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Well, the final candle we light is the Christ candle. And this candle, the white candle in the center of the Advent wreath, symbolizes Christ Jesus himself. White because of his purity, his holiness, who came and descended out of darkness into the world to deliver us from sin and death and hell, and to bring us into his kingdom of righteousness and light. John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's now sing together. What child is this? And ponder this amazing miracle.
Child is this who laid to rest
We now come to the time of the service where we're going to be lighting candles. And there's a powerful symbolism in this lighting of candles. You see, Christ, the light of the world, brought light and brought life. And that's what this light of the candle symbolizes, that light and that life that he brings. And even as I will light my candle from the Christ candle, and then I'll have others light their candles from my candle, and then they'll go down the aisle and light the candles on the inside, and you just light the candles all the way down to the other end of the aisle. As we're each lighting a candle for someone else, it's a picture of the gospel spreading. You know, apart from those in the early days who heard the message and spread it to others, spread the light to others, we would not have that light. And so as the light spreads, imagine you being a light to the world to spread the light of Christ. And imagine that light first being lit in your own life that you might share with others. A word of instruction. In just a moment, we'll all stand to light our candles. And as the candles are lit, once your candle is lit, hold it up straight. Let the other person who has the unlit candle light their candle from your upright candle. Make sense? That way you won't drip wax all over the floor. And the other thing I tell them is and hold it front of you and not like out like that in the hair of the lady in front of you. So the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who knows me will never walk in darkness. And let that light be spread. Dave and Tim. You can, let's rise and we'll sing as our candles are lit. And let the light spread. Let those lights, these lights, shine brightly. May the light of Christ shine brightly in our hearts and from us shine forth through others. And may the light shine ever more brightly as we extinguish these candles, which are symbols. May the true light blaze in our hearts. And let's raise the house lights as we sing together, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive our King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Nobles and sorrows grow, nor thoughts and fears the ground. He comes to men, His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Simply Christmas. Simply Jesus, our Savior and our King, the reason for the season. Hallelujah. You glad you came? I'm glad I was here. And now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory through the church and through Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Go in God's peace. Go on your way rejoicing. There'll be a place for your candles in the back.